Good evening, Bill.
Good evening, Stanley. Hello, listeners. Welcome to a On the Road for Half of Us episode of the BS Car Guys podcast. If I sound different tonight, it is because I'm in a hotel room.
If you sound different tonight, it's just because Bill. That's how we're going to. Yeah. Yeah. For some reason, I was thinking it was still spring break up there, but no, spring break was last week and college spring break was the week before that. So, and that's why you're traveling.
North Carolina be crazy. I mean, we got some kids had spring break back in the winter. Yeah. I mean, it's crazy. My wife's cousin's boy, he goes to like early college and they had spring break like 3 or 4 weeks ago. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. And well, college is usually a week before the high school. So I guess that works. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know what I ain't going to have to deal with in a couple months? Kids in
spring
school.
Spring break. Kids in school. Yep.
That's right.
Stanley about to be an empty nester, sort of.
I'm trying. I wish. I'm trying to get there. I'm trying to grow up. But yeah.
You know the best way to become an empty nester, right?
Not have kids, what?
Stop buying food. If there ain't food in the house, they'll stop coming around. I'm just telling
you. That is a really good point. Really, really, really good point. But at some point, you still got to eat. And, you know, one day when you have grandkids.
You'll figure out. Two people, it's actually cheaper to just buy food than it is to cook. Because then you cook too much and you throw it all. That's a different episode of the podcast.
Yeah, different episodes of the podcast. So, like we said, Bill's on the road. So we're doing the mobile setup, and I don't think we're going to be on here. We're going to try not to be on here as long as we have been in the last couple episodes. Also,
it took a while to get through them brackets. I mean, that was just a lot of material.
Also, if you still want a copy of the bracket and stuff, there's a bracket question that I got to ask you. Just email us. I know some of you are not email. I don't think email is still a thing, but it still works. It's like tweeting or Snapchatting with all the pictures and stuff. Just say, hey, send me a copy of the bracket. And
there you go.
Cool. But speaking of the bracket, so Bill, you know what I did? I did not intend on bringing this up. I think I did intend on bringing it up last week, and then I forgot about it, but you just brought it back to my head. So anyway, so I did what you did, right? So you remember how you said you had the scientific method of determining your winner?
Yes.
So I did a similar thing with my parameters, right?
Like after the fact?
Actually, I did it after the fact, but I tried really hard not to consider who was going to go up against who and so on and so forth, right?
Yep.
I just did it. And I had 9 categories. I was trying to get to 10 because, you know, 10 is a good number. 9 categories, max points was 10. And I ranked them as if I was just looking at a blank list. I do have the ability to do that and not play favorites.
Yes.
I'm going to tell you the top four cars in that order, in reverse order. And you know what? I'm just going to tell you. So the top.
Why don't you just tell them to me in no particular order and I'll guess which one won?
Okay, cool. I'll give you 5 then. So the top 5 cars were the Honda Civic, the Chevrolet Corvette, the Ford Mustang, the Nissan Skyline, and the Porsche 911.
911 still won.
No.
Really?
It didn't.
Well, I got to get my head in the Stanley's frame of mind for scoring stuff. So I'm going to say in the biggest surprise upset of all time, the Mustang won. And,
nope.
And then the Corvette, and then the 911, and then the Civic, and then the GTR.
Nope. It did not work out that order. So the order from 5 to 1.
And I'm going to just say this before you call out the order. If the Corvette won, then I'm going to just go ahead and say that your entire system was flawed and rigged from the start to the car you wanted to win would win.
I promise you, I did not do that.
This is you just saying the Corvette won.
I did not promise you. I didn't do any of that stuff. I legitimately put numbers. And you know how, because you worked on spreadsheets, I can get lost in a spreadsheet, and all I'm concerned about is the numbers and what I'm thinking at the time, and not, and then added it up at the end after I had put all the numbers in it. So I didn't know where things were going to fall out until if I ranked them, you know, put a couple formulas in there and made it happen. All right. So the Honda Civic was fifth. Then the Skyline GTR. Then the Mustang. And then the 911. And the winner was the Vette by 2 points.
Rigged system.
So the Civic got 54, the Skyline got 55, the Mustang got 56, the Porsche got 62, and the Corvette got 64.
It's rigged. You'll never be able to convince me it wasn't rigged since the Corvette won.
To be honest, I figured that would be the case, you know, when talking about this. But the only place that I'll tell you how it won. And this, again, was just, I just ranked things as a group. And I didn't actually, this wasn't even a choice. I just kind of gave a number value when it comes to longevity. So how long the car's been on the market. And that was the difference.
How is that the difference? They've been on the market the same amount of time.
1964 to 1964, 1953 are not the same amount as that.
Oh yeah, that's right. I was thinking of Mustang, not Corvette. Sorry.
Yeah. To be honest, it was 2 points. That was the difference. It was just those 2 points. Because they are identical everywhere else. Like, I have a luxury category and a utility category. The Porsche, obviously, the Porsche is eight, and the Corvette got seven in luxury, and the Corvette got eight, and the Porsche got seven in the utility. And that was, to be honest, those are only the two different, like, those are the differences between the scoring. It was 2 points in longevity that I didn't even decide.
That's interesting. Well, okay, I'll give it to you. I mean, it makes sense that the longevity would play a difference because it has been around longer. So yeah. I'll give you that.
And I mean, in longevity, the things that got tens were the, I think it was the Beetle and the was it the Beetle? Let me open this thing back up. Longevity, what was the number one? Largest to smallest. It was a Wrangler.
Interesting.
At 79 years.
79 years.
Yeah. The Wrangler at 79 years, the Vette at 70, the Beetle at 65, the Mustang and the Porsche obviously at 59.
That's pretty crazy. All right. So what are we talking about tonight, Stanley?
Yeah. Let me talk about, let's get off the old subject. So yeah. There are a couple of news or things that kind of jumped out at me last week, and there was a lot of first-time drives last week, and then there was a international auto show, so I figured we would talk about those things, and then Consumer Reports published a magazine with their top picks, and I thought it was kind of interesting, and
for our listeners under the age of 60. Consumer Reports is a group of people who test items and give feedback in a magazine. And for those of our listeners that are under the age of 40, a magazine is a collection of sheets of paper bound together, sometimes with glue and sometimes with staples. They can be found in these other old-fashioned things called bookstores and magazine racks. All right, Stanley, go ahead, continue.
All right, and then so I figured we could, but I figured we could talk about them a little. And then I do have a pick of the week, a bring a trigger to pick of the week, because it is fabulous. And we need to, it was fabulous.
Do you have a pick of the week this week?
I absolutely have a pick of the week.
Oh, I'm going to pull up my watch list. I want to know if it's one that I already have on my watch list.
All right. So my bringer trailer pick of the week was a no reserve car.
Wait, I'm getting there. Give me a second. It's loading. Okay, right. I'm on it.
All right, cool. It was a no reserve.
I already found it. It is on my watch list. I already found it. It's on my watch list. Hold on. Look, instead of you screen sharing, let me screen share.
All right, good.
All right, are you seeing my screen?
Yep.
All right, I'm going to scroll down my watch list. Is that it?
No, it's not. No, it's not. Dude, I ain't seen one of them in so long. Oh, my God.
For sure that was going to be it. It's a 7,000-mile original 1994 Ford Tempo GL. I thought for sure that was going to be your pick. Okay, so is it this one then?
No, but I was looking at LS400s earlier this week for what we were just talking about.
Well, dang, and man. Is
it? Oh, you didn't see it. Oh, I can't believe you didn't see it.
Oh, well, it might not be one I'm watching. Oh, no. All right. You're going to have to screen share me. Oh, right, man. Cool. Stanley's got something I don't have.
Yep. It sold today, so we can't go buy it.
Oh, it's already closed. Well, now I need to look, because it might be one that I was already tracking that sold today. Was it a 1983 Volkswagen Rabbit GTI? Oh, LFA. I saw it. I didn't follow it because it's LFA. $755,000.
Yep. It's a 2012 LFA with 3,900 miles gracious. On it. Sold for $755,000. I don't know. That is the car that I almost messed up my whole internal ranking system of me not being able to pick a favorite car, because there ain't
because
a whole
you life really on wanted it to be on your list.
Oh, dude, let me tell you how much I love that car.
We are aware.
I love that car, and you rarely see them come up for sale. And this is one of them. It is pretty. It is red, and
I'll be honest, I'm usually not a big fan of red, but that car does look really good in red.
Yeah.
I also like the LFA in yellow, and I normally would be a yellow car hater. So.
Yep. All right, cool. So they sold my dream.
Very interesting. I'm surprised that car sold for that much. I mean, that's amazing those cars still bring that much money.
To be honest, I kind of wish it would sell. I hope they don't sell for that much. Let me say that. Stop. Go back. I think it sucks to me that they are not held in a higher regard. But hopefully that means one day I hit the lotto and something and I can buy one.
Oh, there you go.
Without paying $1 billion for it.
I don't know, man. I think they're just going to keep climbing because it's a very underappreciated car for the market. I mean, it really what hurts it is it's not one of the fastest cars from its time.
Yeah.
That's the thing that really hurts it. If it had been faster, it would have been an all-time great for when it came out because it sounds fantastic.
Yep. That is one of them cars that, the way it came out in my mind was almost perfect. If they could have figured out how to put a couple turbos on there without messing up the sound, it would have, you know, anyway. But it always cost so much. When it came, let me say it this way. It cost more than the things that it competed with. I mean, with the year it came out and the GTR came out, the GTR was quicker. but
for a lot less money when they came out.
Yeah, for a lot less money. But anyway, so that was my pick.
I like that pick. Good pick. I mean that for tempo is probably, you know, that's really one to watch right there. No, there was there's a really cool 1971 Ford F-250 on Bring a Trailer currently that this guy refurbished to look like I think it actually did start out as like a forestry service truck. So it's got like a utility box on it. It's just really clean and well done. You wouldn't want to drop it every day, but it's a cool looking truck. So
it's a date night truck.
Yeah. I mean, if your date night involves a trip to the Piggly Wiggly, maybe. Yeah. But it's a cool truck. It's a cool truck.
Don't act like you're above going to the Piggly Wiggly.
So you mentioned wanting to talk about some car news and like auto show stuff. I'm going to lead with some information before I tell you what my initial take on the auto show was. Okay. Or at least the coverage I saw.
Okay.
Since I didn't go. A person we know who owns a dealership.
Uh-huh.
No longer owns a dealership.
Whoa. Well, I hope it was for favorable reasons. I can't say good reasons, but.
So I'm going to try and see if he's available to come back on the show to talk a little bit about what he can talk about it. But I sent him a message. He has a used car dealership now. And really the used car dealership part of his business was probably driving the bulk of his work in the last year or 2 years anyway, but I saw that. I sent him a text message to kind of, you know, just congratulate him on the new used car thing. And then I asked him, I said, so I'm curious, was the decision made because they sold the dealership to a large, well-known chain of dealerships in the area. Mm-hmm. And I said, was it market prep? Like, was it the market that led to the decision, or was it the manufacturer? Because, you know, we've had these conversations as well. And, and he said, sure, there's both in play, but it was almost entirely the manufacturer's push. I think based on other conversations I've had with another dealer that I know, their dealership's probably going the same route.
Well, for our friend, I know I don't know that well. I hope everything works out for him. I hope, this turns out to be a good move for him. And this is something he wanted to do better than something that,
Yeah. Right.
Instead of something that, he had to do.
Yeah.
But, he'll rebound, man. Y'all boys from North Carolina, y'all pretty resourceful. Got this.
For sure.
Tell him if he find the right used car, I'll come buy it from
him. There you go. Well, the dealership right beside his used car dealership, I got really excited because at first when I saw it out of the corner of my eye driving by, I thought it was on his lot, but it wasn't. It's on the neighbor's lot. They had a they have a white first generation Honda Pass or Honda Ridgeline with the white painted camper shell on the bed. And I told Kendra, I said, if I had stupid rich money, I would buy that truck and take it to Stanley and be like, here you go, buddy. I got you a truck. Cause it would make you so happy.
It's just, it's so ugly that
sure drive it every day.
Look, bro, I drove a 91 Mercury Tracer that had a different color hood on it. And a dent in the side with no power steering.
I think calling that door a dent in the side is a disservice to the word Vince.
You serious, man? Look,
you had to ride. You had to ride sideways in the car to keep the dent from pushing you.
Look, that was a Hadley special right there.
What's up, Sheila? Okay, right, so Sheila. So I say that to lead into my biggest takeaway from that. Well, I have a couple, but my biggest takeaway from the New York Auto Show is, dude, it looked dead.
Yeah. Down there.
Everybody had tired 2-year-old model cars that are on base wheels, and I mean, just it looked as sad as a new car inventory at a dealership right now in America is what it looked like.
I had some of the same feelings. I looked at one slideshow today that was like highlights from the, I think it's on Jalopnik, highlights from the New York Auto Show, and it's like it's two new cars in that. Everything else was in like in the subfloor downstairs and stuff.
That's crazy.
But one of the questions I was going to ask you about that, how many of the big auto shows have you been to? Have you been in any of the big ones?
SEMA. That's it. Never a new car auto show. I went to we went to that Motor Trend show in Charleston years ago. Yep. And I went to a Car and Driver or Motor Trend sponsored show in High Point one year, you know, mm-hmm. like 2006 or something. I mean, I haven't been to the new car shows in forever. I mean, it's just not something I go to. But I remember them always being really full and a lot of options and stuff. But
yeah, I've been to the one in Charleston. I went to, I think they called it, I'm trying to get my, the General Motors Auto Show in Motion. So that was a little kind of different. So they brought cars to FedEx Field at the time. I don't know what the name of the place is. And they let you drive essentially all of their cars against their competitors.
I remember you telling me about that.
Yeah. And I barely missed John Davis. Oh, the idol. Oh. Barely missed him. And then I went to the DC one, but new car shows, I haven't been to many of them, but at the same time, I do remember, you know, that used to be the big thing. And and looking at the videos and stuff around these auto shows, it's like, you know, where are the people at?
Right.
And I think part of it is, you know, but maybe a little due to COVID and maybe a little due to the simple fact that some other automatic manufacturers have kind of proved that you don't need an auto show to sell cars by doing their own release things or just not advertising at all, Tesla.
Right. Well, I mean, listen, you know? I mean, I'm in the manufacturing space and it's an ongoing conversation with the big yearly trade show that there was a moment there coming out of COVID where some of the bigger manufacturers were like, we don't need to be at the show. The mm-hmm. the money and resources that it takes to get stuff to the show, given our online presence and given people knowing who we are in industry, why do we need to spend all this money to be there? But that being said, I think last year's attendance proved that people still want to come to those shows. So at least for my industry, it's still a need. But the automotive industry, they try to have so many shows every year. And it's a lot.
Yep. And I remember the magazines used to, I mean, you can kind of mark where things were going to come at, like the Chicago shows and the New York show. The Chicago shows was like the everyday cars. It's like the cars that you can go buy tomorrow. Yes. And LA and New York and Detroit were always some, you know, kind of crazy stuff. Tokyo was always crazy. And Geneva was all the European stuff that you never was going to get, you know? But yeah, I think that scene is slow. I don't even know if slowly dying. They kind of got to, they see the end. I hope it comes back, because I mean, it's just been a staple point in the car industry for so long, but I don't
think,
really see it.
I think with the growth in EVs and the growth in tech, and I think, look, we're not the biggest Tesla fans, but I think one of the things that he has done with his car by not making a lot of changes to the car design wise, but adding a lot of features and software development, we're going to see more of that trickle into the rest of the car industry. And so there's not going to be as big a need for it. It's going to be more of the tech and more of the software. So shows like the consumer electronics show in Vegas, you know, it's an easier focus for those brands to be like, well, we're just showing off our new screen or our new software update or what, you know, whatever the case may be. And they don't have to redesign the cars as much. And I mean, right now they all look the same. I looked at some Chrysler concept thing from the show, and I mean, it could be 9 other electric cars right now, and you would not know the difference.
Yeah, I think one of the problems is with that is, you know, car makers need to find, auto manufacturers need to kind of find their identity in this EV space. And, you know, it's like Rewind, you know, you go back into the early days of vehicles. If you didn't know what it was, they all were the same. You know what I mean?
Right. That's right.
Yeah. But yeah. So before we get to the show, this kind of came out right before the show and then was confirmed earlier this week by you. Oh, I just thought about that. Another thing that I think that's kind of killing car shows is YouTube coverage, because it brings other people to the show. Like, you know, we can't really go to the show, but at the same time, if you can see everything on YouTube, what's the point of going to New York?
Why, and getting tickets and stuff? Right. Or getting stabbed and stuff. Right. I mean, why do all that?
Yeah. Yeah. Or, you know, going to the Detroit Auto Show and getting the steering wheel stolen.
Yes.
But yeah, so this little bit of news came out right before the show, and then it was confirmed. I think it was anyway. General Motors had made this outstanding, monumentally stupid, in my opinion, decision of all of their new EVs that started with the Blazer and stuff that's coming out later this year or beginning next year will not be compatible with Android Auto and Apple CarPlay.
Yeah, it's on a whole new level of boneheaded. And I think they will dial that back. I don't think that'll last.
I 100% believe they'll dial that back. I was listening to one of the podcasts, and it's like they equated it to like a Honda and their volume scroller thing and Volkswagen with these no lights and all these buttons on everything. It's like, look, bro, we don't want this. And and they came out with a list of reasons, excuses to do it, and none of them made sense.
None.
And then you peel a layer off the onion. It's like, yo, GM just made this move to using Android Automotive as the base of their systems. I know it has the capability of doing it because it does it in other cars. So what are they doing? And the only thing I can kind of think of is they want the data so they can sell the data similar to Tesla and stuff, I guess.
Yeah, I think you might be right there.
Another thing that happened kind of outside the auto show was the Integra Type S. You seen the pictures?
I have seen the pictures.
What you think?
Not enough change to set it apart.
And see, I agree with you, but I like it.
No. I'm not saying I don't like it. I'm not saying I dislike it. I'm saying they could have done more.
Yeah.
It doesn't have enough standout presence. But the OG Type R, aside from the wing, there wasn't a huge difference between the Type R and the standard Integra either. So I guess it's in keeping with the theme.
I feel you. I think the fender flares and stuff were enough to, because, you know, Acura is kind of a conservative company. Well, on the outside, you get into using that dumb infotainment system. But I don't think they, yes. if they flared it out and did all this crazy stuff, then, I mean, it's a Type R. I mean, it is a Type R, but it really
I'll be interested. Yeah. To me, I'd be interested to see one in person because the, it's, I'm going to say something controversial here, which I'm usually good for.
Why did you feel the need to preface that? You say things controversial every episode.
The standard Integra looks better on a computer than it does in real life.
Yeah, it does.
There's something about the proportions that mm-hmm. don't feel quite right in the flesh. I want it to be a smaller car. When I see mm-hmm. them in person, I think, well, that's just like a TLX. I mean, it's what's the difference? Like, it's a big car. And if the wideness helps with the length of the car look more proportional, mm-hmm. then I'll probably be okay with it once I see one in person. But I went from like up here of like, I'm a fan of the Integra. So once mm-hmm. I started seeing several of them on the road, I was like, man, I just don't think I like it as much. It lost a little something for me.
I think the car is a little conservative in looks, but I am a sleeper kind of car guy and I don't really want to stand out that much. So it works for me. But I do agree with you. They could have done a lot more. And actually, I'm kind of glad that they show some restraint because, you know, some of these car companies out here be making some dumb decisions.
Okay. So I'll just say the one place where I don't think they showed any restraint.
Okay.
The exhaust.
Yeah. I don't really like the exhaust. I don't like the.
What is up with that?
I get why Toyota did it because they actually had a reason to do it, but Honda's doing it for aesthetics.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess so. I will say the car looks real nice in white.
White is, I fell in love with white cars when I got to Japan because, you know, that's the color.
if that car with, I'd like to see it white with some white, like, six spoke wheels on it.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that's, I would be a fan.
Like the inky racing wheels that everybody had back in the day.
Well, the TE, what are the TE, whatever they are? I don't know. I don't know my wheels well enough. But yes, the very JDM wheel in white with white car. I would be a fan of that because it does look good in the white.
They should bring that to an auto show because that will turn heads because that will remind people of the old.
That's right. Okay, so in keeping with cool car stuff that came out in the last week or so, Easter Jeep Safari.
Okay. You don't even like Jeeps, but go ahead.
Jeep always shows up with their concept vehicles. I feel like they had seven. I think it's usually what they bring. I feel like they had a couple standouts. I really liked the 392, the Jeep Scrambler 392 concept. Uh-huh. That was really cool. And then the they did like this old Cherokee that was full electric. I think they just called it a 78 Jeep Cherokee 4XE. But anyway, I really liked it. And then they also did I'm setting myself up for some ridicule here, but they did a Grand Cherokee Overland. I don't know why they just build that to begin with. It's the correct Grand Cherokee. I mean, I'm paying $140,000 for the thing, but it looks great.
I like the seats in this. Oh, which one was that?
Yeah, the seats in a bunch of them are good.
Yeah.
You're probably looking at the Scrambler 392. They have the plaid blue seats.
Yep. Yeah.
Those are real nice. You look at the seats though in the Wrangler or in the Grand Wagoneer Overland. You look at the interior of that, and that's why I like it. I mean, I like that it's got a lift kit and mud tires and a roof tin on it too. But when once you see the interior, I'm like, why wasn't that the interior option, like out the gate? If that had been the interior option out the gate, I would have never been as harsh on that truck as I have been.
Yes, you would have.
No, but, no. You find the interior and you'll see what I'm talking about. It's fantastic. I'm trying to get to
it. It's not on that one.
It's fantastic. I'm looking to find it. So, all right. So here's what I noticed, because now that we're talking about the Grand Wagoneer, here's what I noticed from the auto show. Several brands are focusing their SUVs on offering a off-roady looking package. So Volkswagen had one, and Kia has one, and I think Nissan's offering one. And so there were a bunch of new off-road packages coming to the market.
It's almost like we talked about that before something on the episode. It's
almost like we talked about that was a trend that was coming. And I was like, man, it's fully here. So they did a new trend for the Kia Telluride, which currently is not available to build and price on their website, but it is the X line. There's like a new X line and X Pro models that are coming. That comes with like a knobbier tire. And I mean, it looks okay. It looks like they're trying, you know, it's still not.
Yeah.
It's still not great, but it's better. Speaking of not great, but better, the Pathfinder also now offers a, Rock Creek trim package, which is like a little bit of a lift and some flared wheel arches and stubby looking tires and black wheels. And I went and looked on their website, and you can actually build one with the package. I built one for $46,500, not too bad.
That's been on the market for about 6 months now, but yeah.
So now I
finally got to the interior of the yeah, I see. Oh, that's kind of dope. I like it.
Yeah.
I like that.
You see what I'm talking about, right? That's legit, isn't it?
Yeah, man. I can do that.
It's real nice.
I mean, you know, you can do stuff like that if you want to. I'm just saying.
Yeah, all it takes is very large quantities of money.
You got that. You know, y'all ballers.
Okay. All right. So here's something I want to throw out there before we get into your revelations from the auto show. A friend of ours, she recently purchased a new vehicle. She had a Toyota Venza, and and she had it for a number of years. I think hers was like, it might have been the first year they came out. So, I mean, she had it.
That's crazy, because I knew she had the first gen when that car went out of production and came back in production. And she just now getting rid of
it. Yes. And so she's finally decided she was going to get rid of it. And so I sent her a list of a few different vehicles to test drive. I think she wound up with a Hyundai Santa Fe. And I really think she only bought that because that's what somebody else in her family has, and so she was already comfortable with it. But she test drove a Bronco Sport and actually test drove a Badlands, which I told her to go test drive, and she liked it. But the car I told her to go test drive that I don't think she ever got around to driving, that I actually kind of like, for a small SUV. If you had to think about a small or mid-size, I don't know if it's mid-size or if it's small. I really don't know. I guess it's a mid-size. Mid-size SUVs. What would be your dark horse? Don't think Bill would like it, but turns out he does. Mid-size SUV.
So seeing how the definition of mid-size is fluid now.
Yes, it is.
This model
does not offer a third row seat option.
Okay. No third row seat. I'm smaller on the midsize.
Yes. Smaller.
I,
w-
I would say Nissan Rogue.
No.
Okay. Give me one more try and then you can go tell.
Yeah, you ain't off by too far, but no.
How much it costs? Give me
I built one for $50,543.
$50,000. Oh.
Which is really why I want to talk about it, because of its price.
$50,000. So I would say I don't know. Gotta be decently popular. So I'ma say, oh, I know. I got Chevy Equinox.
No, you went the wrong way. You went the wrong way. Honda Passport.
See, that's bigger, but yeah, $50,000.
Doesn't have a third row option.
It does. But so, they chose not to. They sell a pilot with it. At. But anyway, I got you.
So this is the reason why I want to ask you about this, because I kind of forget about the Passport. Like back in the day, the old school
Passport. They don't advertise for it.
It was really cool. Honda doesn't advertise for this. Everybody's got pilots. There's a pilot. Kendra's parents have a pilot. There's pilots everywhere, right? But this Trail Sport Passport, you know, you can get it with bronze wheels.
Yep.
They got like a bronze package for the thing.
Yep. Yep.
It kind of looks, I mean, it's kind of a little off-roady look. Like it's that cool style, right? But here's the thing. $50,000.
Okay.
You know what? Actually, you know what else I can buy from Honda for $50,000? In fact,
Civic Type R.
Yeah, for exactly $40 more, I can buy a Civic Type R. For $40 more, are you telling me that a Civic Type R is only worth $40 more than a Trailblazer or a whatever, a Passport? I mean, I feel like one of those cars is overinflated in value.
I feel like all cars are overinflated in value, but that's the point.
There's that. Yes. Yeah, that's a different point.
See, and when you talk about them, those two things right there, it kind of comes down to, you know, your intended buyer. And, you know, you get a kit, you get one of us that, you know, want to have a sport compact car. And $50,000, and they got $50,000 to spend. And, you know, the Civic would be, or, you know, one, two on that list, you know, one, two, or three on that list.
Yep.
And those people would never look at a Trail Sport. Never. They're just, it's not on. It's not.
It's two different people, right? It's two different consumers.
So, like, to me and you, we are kind of weird that a Civic Type R costing $50,000 and send his competitors, you can justify that price for what you're getting. And at the same time, we know people are of that age that having room in a vehicle to go on a daggone long trip and just be comfortable is worth $50,000 too. You know what I mean?
Yes, yes.
So, I mean, I get what they're doing. I think that is not even an apples and oranges kind of thing. That is like apples to pizza. You know what I mean?
Well, I was going to say apples to turtles, but yeah.
you can eat both of them, but one of them's going to give you heartburn.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And the other one is just going to be supple, normal. You can go get it from everywhere, see them everywhere type of thing. You know? They got a million of them in the Publix.
So, well, I'll let you cover the stuff from the New York Auto Show that you wanted to talk about, but I was going to say one final thing in keeping with my theme about the show being dead. Did you see the cool thing in the Toyota booth?
The cool thing? No.
Mm.
Did I see a cool? I don't. What did I miss in the Toyota booth?
So, I mean,
unless the Land Cruiser's coming back, I don't care.
It was the coolest thing they had in their booth sitting. It looked like it was sitting in like the front corner of the booth. Was an FJ45 pickup truck that they never even sold in the States.
Oh! I understand why you gravitated to that now.
I mean, the coolest thing you can put in your booth is an old truck. Like,
yeah.
What's that? That can be a whole nother conversation about what in the world is Toyota thinking with their SUVs and trucks. Like, you can't even get a Sequoia with just a gas engine. You can't even get.
Yeah.
It hurts my brain.
Yeah, people want to get more than 19 miles a gallon.
No, they don't. They don't.
But anyway, before we go on our rant about daggone them, because trust me, there's enough hybrid daggone conversation coming up. So in all reality, there were only two things that kind of stood out to me, and everything else was kind of, cool. It looked all right, whatever. That I didn't really see before. The first one is the Genesis G80 Coupe, GV80 Coupe. Did you see that? The orange one?
Yes, all the orange.
Yep. That might be the best looking coupe SUV thingy.
Yeah, I mean, fine. I'll say best looking coupe SUV looking thing, because I think that version of a vehicle is completely pointless.
Oh, yeah. You throw away utility. But we had this conversation before. I don't know if we recorded on the podcast. I don't know if this is an original thought. I heard it from somewhere. It's kind of like big coupes back in the day. It's like, you know, you never saw anybody in the passenger seat of that thing. You wanted a big thing with power and look different and all this other stuff.
But if you had a two-door Cadillac in 1974, it was only two-door because they took the four doors and made them two doors.
Yeah.
And the door was just then 17 feet long.
How did we both say 17? I don't know.
Because it was an exact measurement. That's why.
How do we both say 17? But yeah. I think it's just style, man. I think what this whole thing is, it's like, hey, I got X5 money. Nobody buys 5 Series no more. I got to get an SUV because it's going to give me, I want to get the one that nobody else got. So
yeah, I guess you're right. I guess that's the theory. I don't particularly care for them. I don't think they're, I'm too practical in what I want to do with a vehicle to say I will spend more money on less utility in a vehicle. And so that's where my struggle falls.
Well, didn't you just make the case for buying a Civic Type R over a Passport?
Yeah, but the utility of a Civic Type R is it will roast the tires and fly through traffic. That's purpose.
The GV80 coupe got like 400 horsepower, but anyway, besides that, I just think it's pretty.
Even in orange?
And I'm not an orange person. I thought it was cool. I mean, I'm not driving an orange car, but you know.
I didn't particularly care for it.
I mean, it is an auto show. I mean, they're going to come up with the biggest, brightest, dumbest, craziest color that they can come up with. And then name it not orange for some reason. It's probably named Purplelicious or something dumb.
So, hey, let me ask you about the Deuce Vane EV hypercar thing. Did you see that?
Nope.
With 2,200 horsepower?
Nope, because that don't sound real to me. What are you talking about?
It's DEUS, Deuce. And then the car is the VAYANNE. It's reported 2,200 horsepower and 1,475 pound-feet of torque.
Oh, it don't look bad.
It I'm don't. It I mean, it looks kind of Koenigsegg in the front, and it looks kind of Tom Cruise futuristic sci-fi movie car in the back.
Yeah. I binged it. And Supergirl Blondie is driving.
Of course.
Of course she is. But yeah, it don't look bad. It don't look bad. I mean, yeah.
All right, what did you think about the Chrysler Airflow Graphite?
We talked about Airflow before.
Yeah.
Didn't we? We did.
Maybe briefly.
You say you didn't like it because it looked like a bubble.
I mean, it's basically they said we're going to build a Chevy Trailblazer. It's not the Trailblazer. What are they building? It's their EV SUV?
The Blazer and Equinox SS.
Equinox. It's the Chevy Equinox. It's the Chrysler Equinox. That's what I'm going to call it from now on. If this car goes into production, it'll just be known as the Chrysler Equinox.
I think it is going to go in production because they ain't got nothing else.
You're right about that.
They ain't got nothing else, and they got to come to the market with something, or they're just gonna die. Speaking of Chrysler and things in that thing, the only other thing that really stood out to me was they brought a production version of the Ram 1500 Rev.
I thought we were going to talk about that because 500 miles of range.
Yep, 500 miles of range and a 229 kilowatt hour battery pack.
That's insane.
That is, I believe, bigger than the Hummer.
Battery itself might be bigger than the Hummer.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the Hummer for a second.
Ridiculous. All right, go ahead. That's my thoughts.
The Hummer SUV.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little smaller than the truck.
Uh-huh.
I kind of like it.
I think it
does a better job of being a cool vehicle than the truck does.
Yeah, I can see that.
The proportions are a little better.
I can see it. I do like it. I like the look of it better. It's still big and stupid and ridiculous.
That's kind of why I like it.
If I had to choose between the three crazy EV SUVs on the market, I would go with the Rivian.
See, I'm actually jumping off the Rivian bandwagon.
Why? First.
Okay, because I mean, I like the Rivian R1S, right? I do like it. I think it is a cool SUV. I think it looks cool. But they have raised the price like 9 times in the last 8 months because their ship is sinking and sinking fast. And
I haven't been paying attention to the prices,
I think they're done. I could build that vehicle on their website for like $72,000 a year ago, and now it's like right at 100. That's a lot of price increase when Tesla is lowering their prices.
Tesla is lowering their prices, but Ford, the F-150 Lightning is raising its prices.
It's stupid anyway. Okay, and so this is my thing. I don't think Rivian's going to make it. I don't even think the Amazon delivery fleet is going to keep them afloat. I'm scared to be a fan of Rivian.
Well, I'm not scared to be a fan. I'm scared to be a little hesitant to be an owner.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah, because it looks like you're driving the EV Saab is what it looks like you're driving right now. It's cool as all get out, but it ain't got a long shelf life. And so, it makes me scared to be a fan. That being said, this Hummer, I don't mind it. If you got to have an all-electric SUV, I don't mind it.
I will This is off the, I just pulled this out of my butt take. I am less worried. Nope, I can't even say that. I was going to say I'm less worried about Rivian than I am GM. But I'm equally worried about them because I don't think it's a good idea to bet against daggone Jeff Bezos. And at the same time, you know, they got to build something cheaper or they're just not gonna, they're just, they ain't gonna, it ain't gonna work out for them.
Yeah, and I don't know when they're gonna be able to get to something cheaper. That's the problem.
I listened to an interview with the CEO of him, Marquez, MKBHD, interviewed him right before he drove the R1S. And he said, I mean, it's already is in the planning stages. And he was talking about, he didn't give a timeline, but he's like, they're working on it right now.
Well, so, yeah, they're working on it. I mean, but Tesla's been working on a Cybertruck for 5 years.
I'm willing to bet that their less expensive vehicle is going to come out before the Cybertruck, because why not?
Yes.
But yeah. That was all for the auto show that kind of caught my attention. But
yeah, not a ton of stuff. I mean, the Ram looks good. It looks pretty polished. To me, right now, as far as an EV truck, it's bridging the gap between the F-150 and the Silverado. Silverado is trying too hard to be futuristic cool, and it's coming across as an El Camino, and the F-150 is trying too hard to just be an F-150, mm-hmm. but the Ram lands somewhere nicely in the middle.
Yep. I will go down right now of the three trucks, and I know you like your Fords, and it's not like I don't like the Ford or the GM. But if I had to buy a half-tailfoot truck, I'm buying a Ram. I'm just doing it because I know I'm not going to be doing all the crazy stuff, and I want to be. I want a really nice package.
And yeah, if you're using your truck as a car, buy the Ram. Like it is the best. It is the best place to be.
And you know, to be honest, most people out here using their truck as a car. They drive their truck to and from work because it makes them feel better.
100%. Yeah.
All right. So the last little segment of this podcast is going to be a little bit of controversy. we're going to stay here long, but Consumer Reports does this thing every year that I know Bill was picking at it, but and he should. They have an interesting way of getting their data that keeps my attention. They solicit consumers, you know, hey, how do you feel about your car? What do you like about your car? What do you don't like? How do I know? Because I'm one of the people who vote.
Yeah. And what's interesting for our listeners who don't know, you know, two things. One, they're not getting cars on loan from the companies. So they're not getting special vehicles. They're just going out and buying a vehicle. That's really cool.
They stealth buy them. So the dealer can't get them
special. Their secret shopper buying them. That's pretty cool. And the other cool thing they do, and a lot of people don't know this, is they still have like a whole category for just like how much room in the pedal area there is for your New Balances.
Yes, they do. I knew you was coming with a joke. I just didn't know which one you was coming with.
That's how you do it.
The crazy thing is you're being funny right now, but if you watched a video from Consumer Reports going to the New York Auto Show and the three guys that are there, and the cars that they like, the one young guy absolutely likes something that he should like. The other two dudes, it's like, you came to an auto show and that's what you came away with? Bro, you need stuff in your life, man. You need to drink more or something, man. But it's like the last comment. So if just watch, go to that video, get to the end, and you see three guys standing there and just listen to the cars that stood out to them at the auto show. I was like, bro, y'all need to dream more.
Do they have their own YouTube channel?
Yes, they do. So they come up with their top 10 picks. They're not in like an order of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 9, 10. But they use some their research metrics to come up with this list, and they talked to consumers and everything. And I wanted to discuss this with Bill and see if he would buy any of these on the top 10 list.
Okay, hold on. I'm looking at their. Yeah, look at that. They've got like actual auto show coverage and everything. All right, I'm gonna subscribe to them for a little bit.
They do a weekly podcast, and it's informative from a different perspective. And I think that's where their value is. They come at it a different way. You know what I mean? So I disagree with them all the time, but I value their opinion. All right. Okay. So you ready to do this?
I got the list in front of me that you sent on the email.
All right. The part that you can't see is the categories. All right. Because I didn't realize, I really figured out they had categories. All right. So the first two are under 25. And their two top picks for under $25,000 is the Toyota Corolla Hybrid and the Toyota Corolla Cross. Would you buy either of those vehicles?
No, because when Elizabeth bought her Mazda, we sat in the Corolla Cross. I wouldn't have dared got in a hybrid because I haven't lost my flipping mind. But we sat in the Cross, and it was not
going to get a hybrid one day.
It was not a pleasant place to be. I did not enjoy the car. We test drove it, and it was not great. It seemed like a $12,000 car. So I'm not surprised it's under 25. But I'm curious of, can you actually buy those cars currently under 25?
Just because the way the market is and what Toyota dealerships have been doing from everything I've seen, no. It has 169 horsepower, bro. I was like, we got it.
Yeah, hey, Corolla SE, well, that's a 2020. Hold on. I don't even see brand new ones. Ain't nobody got brand new ones for sale? I'm trying to do a quick search.
Okay.
Here, 2023. There's a 23. So LEs are 24,000. They just barely slide under.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what's probably messing me up is I had my price capped at 20 from when I was looking at old stuff. Let me try this again now.
I would say there's going to be
Corolla Cross, 40. $1,000
for a $25,000 car. Things are wrong. All right, so you wouldn't buy either. There is at least one car on this list that you would buy.
Oh, there's, yeah, yeah, you go ahead.
All right, so the next category is $25,000 to $35,000, and they have the Subaru Forester and the Ford Maverick Hybrid. Would you buy either of those?
So this is a trick because the only way you can get a good trim package and four-wheel drive in a Ford Maverick is to be forced into buying a stupid hybrid. So I would buy the Ford Maverick.
No, I thought you couldn't get in order to get four-wheel drive, you have to go with the turbo.
Mm-mm. You have to have a hybrid.
We're going to look up that.
I'm checking on it now. I'm pretty sure if you get four-wheel drive, you get the hybrid.
No, I think you can only get the hybrid in two-wheel drive, which means you're not going to buy it.
Okay, so then no, I'm not going to buy it. If that's the case, if I can get four-wheel drive without it, then I'll be out. And I would never buy the new Subaru Forester. It's absolute garbage. No, would never. I don't know what they're saying that car cost. It's $10,000 to $15,000 more in the market right now, and it's worth $25,000 less than the market right now.
Yeah, I messed the category up. I guess there are other things in the category: the Toyota Camry Hybrid, and the Nissan Leaf, and the Nissan Leaf. Nope. To both of them.
Nope and nope. Two more notes.
All right. So now we're going to go up a little bit of money. The $35,000 to $45,000 Hyundai Santa Fe Hybrid.
Nope.
And Kia Telluride.
Ooh, it's a maybe. I kind of like it. It's not a bad place to spend some time.
All right, so we got a maybe. We got a maybe. I would do the, first of all, the Telluride, you ain't going to never find one for $45,000. I'm telling you that right now. They got they got at least $7,500 in markup on it still to this day.
All right, okay, so yes, you can only get the hybrid engine in the front wheel drive configuration. You are correct. I am incorrect.
As always.
get that out there to our listeners. So, confirms it's a solid no on the Maverick hybrid.
So plus $45,000, they kind of wrap everything else into that. And they put the Lexus NX 350H and the Tesla Model 3.
Hard no on both those.
So of their 10 best cars, you would buy none of them?
Pretty much, yeah.
None of them?
Yep, pretty much.
Wow. Well, I guess this tells us right now that we are not that typical. We're not the average consumer.
Nope.
And then, all right, so there's one other little thing that I want to talk to you about, and then we can get out here so my wife can go back to work.
All right, let's do it.
All right, so they also have a ranking also of brands, right? And the top 10 brands rated, again, by the consumers for this year. You don't have to name them in order, but let's see if you can name all of them. Without messing one up.
All right. What is this? Is by who now? The actual consumer or
yeah.
What?
All of this stuff has a lot of consumer input. Yes.
All right. Give me the full criteria one more time. I know you're going to put me on the spot with a quiz.
Top 10 brands.
Brands. So not models. Brands.
Brands. People are the happiest with their vehicles. There are 34. I can tell you who the last two was. So this to get you out your head. You ready?
Yeah.
Land Rover and Jeep.
That's because Jeep's been having a lot of problems. Let me just tell you.
Yeah. Land Rover was the worst, and Jeep was right next to it. So let's see if you can get all 10 of them without messing up, boy.
Lexus.
Don't got to be in. On the list. Number 4.
Toyota.
On the list, number 6.
Honda.
On the list, number 5.
Subaru.
On the list, number 2.
What? People have lost their flipping minds.
We knew that already.
Tesla.
Not on the list.
Whoa. That's surprising. BMW.
On the list. Number 1.
Wow. That's huge.
Volvo. Not on the list. You got one more miss.
Dang, son. Chevrolet.
Not on the list.
Well, there you go. I'm out. I got half the list.
Yep. So the top 10 in order from 10 to 1 was Kia, Audi, Mazda, Genesis.
Good job, Mazda.
Yep. Toyota, Honda, Lexus. The most surprising entry on the whole list, Mini at number 3, Subaru at number 2, and BMW at number 1.
Well, you know, I mean, Mini's kind of like a dark horse. They don't sell a lot of units, so that helps them, right? They're not selling as many cars. And if the cars they do sell, people are generally happy with, then that's going to help you.
Yeah, I guess. I guess you could say that all you want, but
that's interesting to me.
It is a lot of their stats are really interesting because, you know, as car people as we are, you know, we view things from a weird perspective. You know, we are enthusiasts and enthusiasts adjacent, but we are realists also.
Enthusiast adjacent?
Yeah, because we want, like, you want to get out there and drive everything, but you don't have the time to because you're a real person who works.
Yes.
You know, and then, you know, I like cars. I really, really like cars, but I don't. I like fast cars, but I don't really have a need or desire to really own a sports car and crazy and stuff like that. But it's interesting to see how people, non-enthusiast people, really act or think about what they really think about their cars. The number one thing people have with their issues people have with their cars is tech.
Yes,
because they don't know, and it's not. And from their surveys, it's not always that the tech is bad. It's just they don't know how to use it, or it doesn't work the way they want it to work.
Right.
You know what I mean? It go way back in the day, like Cadillac Q when it came out. Remember that back in the day?
Way back in the day, yes.
So Cadillac Q was like the worst rated, and BMW iDrive was like the worst rated infotainment systems on the market at that time, right?
Yeah, BMW iDrive is.
But the reason
why. If you put a 20-year-old right now in a BMW from 20 years ago with iDrive, they would not drive the car.
I'm telling you right now, if you put a new person in, if you put a non-BMW enthusiast like yourself in a BMW right now, bro,
like a brand new,
you are not a tech dummy. You know, you may try to act like it, but I know better.
I don't try to act like a tech dummy.
Sometimes you try to act like you don't like tech, but you do, bro.
I do. I like tech.
It's too much stuff to do in a car. It's too much. It's 27 screens, and you can go down like three levels of each screen. It's too much stuff. But and then with like kind of like Q back in the day, it was like the whole point was they told you, hey, don't touch the buttons, talk to the car, tell it what to do. And nobody did it, and they all hated the system. And when I got into a Cadillac and I test drove one of them, and I did it, and first of all, it wasn't that confusing to start off with. And then so I say, turn up the radio. And it just turned up the radio. And right. I was like, I know I got a Southern drawl and I slur words and say things wrong all the time. But if I could make this work, I know y'all can. But the number one ding thing is tech.
And you know what's crazy right now is in the car world that we live in right now versus the car world we grew up in, the thing that really separates the personality of a car currently really is the tech.
Yeah.
It's the great differentiator of what a car is the tech. Because to the eye, to the consumer's eye on a part, the cars all look the same.
Well, I would disagree with that. But you know what? On an average consumer, you are right.
That's what I'm
everybody
saying.
Ain't me. Like, right. I still know back light signatures. You know what I mean?
I don't know most, but I know some. I'm losing.
It's still one of them things that, like, I kind of do. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, what do lights look like? So I know what it is when I'm behind it going down the road or whatever. You know?
Yeah, I don't know it like I used to.
I mean, it is a tech, but so one of the future shows that we're probably gonna have is the Blazer SS EV versus the Mustang GT. The Mach-E GT, right?
I'm so disappointed.
Disappointed. You should be. You should.
I cannot express how saddened I am.
I'm disappointed in myself.
Okay, well, then that works. So, yeah, I think that's probably a matchup we need to have a conversation about. But do we wait on the Dodge Hornet?
The Chrysler. It's going to be the Chrysler. That kind of.
No, the Dodge Hornet.
The Hornet is not an EV.
It's going to be an EV. You wait.
It's a hybrid and a turbo.
You wait. I done said it. It's an EV.
I got something to tell you about the Hornet, but let me finish real quick before I forget. The matchup between that Ford and that Chevy, I'm telling you right now, which one is going to win?
The Chevy.
And I'm gonna tell you why it's going to win. It's going to be the Ford. Why it's going to be the Ford?
Whoa.
But tell you why it's going to be the Ford?
Yeah.
Because Chevy ain't going to let me plug my phone in.
Oh.
Like I'm used to doing. And what's the difference between them cars? Both of them are fast. Both of them carry the same amount of people. They aren't outlandishly looking. But if I get in there and I want my phone to be projected on the daggone thing, and one of them lets me do that and the other one didn't, guess which one I'm buying?
Yeah, that's a great point.
They got the public kind of wrapped around now, or used to Apple CarPlay and Android Auto, and that was like, hey, you know what we're gonna do? We're gonna take that away.
So are they gonna just only support like Windows phones or Google Pixel?
No, you don't plug your phone in at all because it's is Android Automotive based. So they just say, hey, just download the app on the screen. And just use it that way, right?
But so now you have to download all the apps you want to use in your car onto the car.
Either that, or you sign into your Google account and it pulls over the apps.
No, stupid.
Yep. And the other part about that is now I've got another data plan to pay for.
Well, there's the reason they're doing it right there.
Yep.
Hey, you know, I was just curious. While we were talking and we had this conversation about the Maverick and drivetrain options.
Uh-huh.
Do you want to know the difference between Maverick XLT trimmer?
Oh, I meant to talk to you about that. We never really talked. Let's talk about that next week, the whole truck. Next time.
Okay, we'll save it.
I'm kind of curious to think about what you think about the trimmer version of that.
I drive it. All right, we'll talk about it more in depth.
Me too. I drive it. last little bit, because you said something about the Hornet. Did you see TFL's video with the Hornet?
I stopped following TFL. We've had this conversation.
We did.
When I stop somebody, I stop. I don't look at anything they produce from that point forward.
Well, let me tell you what they did. They did a very similar thing to what they did with the Land Rover. They broke it. They put it on these little things to kind of test its all-wheel drive system. It's a pre-production car that the factory let them. The Hornet.
Oh, to do the little their little slip test they do on the rollers.
Yeah.
So they did that. I'm familiar with the test.
And the car shut down. The car's like, no, we're not doing this. I quit, right? And there was all surprise and everything. I was like, wait a minute, you got a pre-production car in and as a loaner. Why are you doing this to this car? You know it ain't ready for sale. But then at the same time, you look at the product plan, it's like, why would you send them a car? You didn't know what they was gonna do with it.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, that's embarrassing. You got this brand new SUV, your first new product since the Dodge Dart, and the first thing somebody sees on it is them breaking the car doing a simple all-wheel drive test.
Yep.
No statement is going to fix that.
Nope.
But anywho, I think it's time.
Yep. Get your wife away.
Say goodbye. Yep. Got to go wake her up in a minute. 10 to 2. Because AI.
Mm-mm.
Anyway.
That's crazy. All right. I love you, man. We'll do this again.
I love you too, bro.
Later.
Night.